Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTH and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTH.
Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Truth Wanted. I am your host, Objectively Dan. This is the live call-in show that happens every single week, Fridays at 7 p.m. Central Time, where we talk to people about what they believe and why. And if you'd like to call us, you can do that too. It's at 512-991-9242, or you can call through your computer at tiny.cc/callTW. Truth Wanted is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the promotion of positive atheist culture and the separation of religion and government. And of course, every single week, I always have a very special guest. This week is no different. He's coming back, folks. It's John the Skeptic with a C, mind you. Respect the C and a K.
Yeah.
He's got both.
Yeah. Right? I'm greedy.
He's pulling double duty with those letters that both make the same sound, but we choose to put in our words for some reason because English is weird. How are you doing, John?
I am fantastic. I'm so pleased to be back because I missed.
Oh, well, we missed you too, John, and I'm sure everybody at home missed you too. So if you want to talk to John, come on and call in. Lines are open right now, and we would love to talk to you. Now, John, I want to start off today by telling a story that happened because it actually ties into the last time you were here on this show, coincidentally enough. Obviously, this wasn't planned, okay? I have to preface this story by saying that at the beginning of it makes me sound way cooler than I actually am, because this never happens to me. But last weekend, I was invited to a boat party, which sounds very fancy, and it was not, but it was just like a small boat, and it was a bunch of YouTube content creators that were there. I don't know any of these people except the one person that invited me. I don't talk to other YouTubers besides the people that like go on this show and like obviously like people in the skeptic space and stuff, but like general YouTube people I don't talk to, and they don't know who I am and I don't know who they are, but like all of them were like way more popular than me, so it was just like whatever, okay, right? So I'm on this boat and I'm talking to somebody there, okay? And it's the wife of somebody who's there, who's talking to me, and I was kind of figuring out what everybody was doing and stuff, and she told me that she runs an app. You started this app, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Like, what is it? It's like, well, it's I started this horoscope app, and I was like, okay, tell me about that. So it turns out she made this app kind of like, if you remember last time when you were here, the guy who makes the app for ghosts stuff and knows it's bullshit, she makes an app about horoscopes and also knows it's bullshit and apparently makes good money off of this, right? So I didn't ask for, I mean, I asked for some specifics and stuff. At first, I was like kind of telling her about my show and what we do and stuff and see if she could like call in and talk about it herself. And we had a back and forth. I got her contact information, but eventually she wasn't comfortable with it, but she said I could kind of talk anonymously about it. Okay. So that's what I'm doing now. She has an app, okay, where people give their information to her, right? And based on that information, she will write things about them. And she knows like their education level. She knows how old they are and stuff. And herself or other people will come up with these horoscopes. And John, she makes bank off of this. Okay. So the thing with apps, right? The thing with apps is that most of your users, you're not actually going to make money off of, right? For like a lot of models, that's how they work. It's usually like the top 1%,
right?
Or the top percent that like actually do a lot of income. She talked about this one doctor that in the first 2 weeks of using the app paid $2,000 for horoscopes. Yeah. Like people that you wouldn't expect using this thing, definitely using this thing. And it's those top users, the ones that are paying the most, that get the money for this. And I'm just like, well, how do you feel about this? Obviously, she was like, she felt conflicted. That's why I think she was telling me about it and thought about maybe even talking about it. But it's just like, oh my God, like you always hear about the, you know, you always guess. You always look at these apps and you always look at these things. You're like, you know, there has to be somebody making money off this. And I met the person that was making money off this.
That's did she say anything about, like, did she let people know that it wasn't real, or no. You know, that it's just be she, no. Whoa, that's I'm the in the wrong line of work.
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know, you know, like the thing was, yeah. Right, when we had our call about our friend who, or I say friend of the show, well, not even friend of the show, just a caller. I don't know who he was. So the caller who said, right, obviously a fan of this show, obviously a skeptic who feels conflicted about this. This person did not feel conflicted at all. She straight up called these people stupid. Like, she was just like, did not care the same way.
My.
Knew that this was like, I don't know, an exploitative thing, really. So I thought this conversation with her would have been really interesting to have, so I could, like, kind of, you know, dig deep into that with her. Yeah. But again, she didn't want to call into the show. So I just have an anecdote to tell, just a story. But, like, I don't know, man. Like,
was most of this you were asking questions because actually you want to start up your own app and you're just getting information on how to do it?
Actually, like, she was talking to the friend that invited me to the party, and he was telling her about the show that I do. And so, like, that got us talking. So I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, you need to talk to this person. So I was talking to them. And so, like, I don't know, man. I feel like after hearing both that ghost call and this, my worldview kind of changes just a little bit.
There's right? going to. I'm calling dibs on this, but I'm going to start an app where you can get locations for where alien abductions are going to happen. Maybe
alien abductions are going to happen.
Yeah, because, you know, people just want to know this kind of stuff, and people want to feel good and have, like, confirmation bias sort of thing. There could be an app that's mine. Nobody else can take that. I'm having that one.
One of the scandalous things she told me was they'll even use some of the same horoscopes, like, with other users.
Just change Taurus to Scorpio.
Yeah, just change the stuff. And I'm just hearing it, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, you are that. I don't know. Like, I can't imagine being in that mindset where you just go whole hog in the lie. You know what I mean? Or at least, like, false hope. If it's not a lie, I don't know what it is.
I've been there. I didn't tell you this last time, but so I come from a background of, like, mediums and spiritualists.
Yeah.
And I knew it was absolute rubbish. Mm. But I felt like I want a way to make money. People like crystal balls. Maybe I can make miniature crystal balls. And so I bought all of the stuff, and I was going to make miniature crystal balls to start selling to people. And then the guilt took over, and I decided that it was a really bad idea. And then I was left with all this equipment that I had, I couldn't do anything with. But I get it. I understand why people would go there to make people feel good.
Yeah, it was a weird conversation. Because, like, she's like, you know, obviously didn't have a whole lot of respect for the people she was, you know, doing this for. But, like, she did, the fact that she was telling me about it, I think she did feel somewhat of a conflict. I guess I would too. I don't know. That's a very personal thing. I'm not here to.
Maybe she was using you as some kind of, like, confession. Maybe. And, like, if I just get this off my chest to Dan, who deals with this sort of thing, maybe then I can continue, like, with a clear conscience.
It kind of felt like that a little bit. I'm not here to judge people's life decisions and what they do with it. I will say, if she was to call in and I would talk to her on the show, I would say I would think about not doing that, actually, or at least having
be honest about it.
This is entertainment and not really anything, because, like, this is how people get exploited. This is how people think, oh, wow, well, this thing is true. Maybe some of this other crazy shit could be true. You know what I mean? Like, this is literally how QAnon starts.
Yes.
So, like, it's just a little thing. I don't know.
I'm going to download this.
Well, yeah. And I, for the sake of anonymity, she didn't even tell me what the app name was, but apparently it's enough that this was her whole living, was that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't know. In a way, fair play, but come on.
I don't know, man.
Conscience has got to take over sometime.
I felt like my response last time to the ghost call was, yeah, it is kind of fair play, but I think it only because he did have, I think he said he had a disclaimer in the app description, which I know everybody doesn't read it, but at least that's there. I even suggested, I think if you could even find it somewhere in the app, I think that'd be good too. But, like, I didn't get the impression that there was any kind of warnings of, like, entertainment for this, right? So, like, I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to feel about it. No, it feels gross. It feels gross and exploitative, right?
I get you. Yeah, I'm with you.
So, I mean, that's interesting. You were part of that too, though, like, part of that world. So, like, when you were talking to other mediums and stuff, was everybody else, like, in on it too? Or were there some, like, hardcore believers?
Well, so I never tapped into my gift.
Okay.
I was told from a young age, oh, you're going to have the gift when you're older. You'll be able to do this. It skips a generation. And I never, well, I think that was actually what put me on the journey to becoming a non-believer, because I was like, well, now's the time that I go and start learning how to talk to dead people. I'm going to go and do that. And the more I read into it, the more I went, well, hang on, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Yeah. If we could play clips on here one of these days, there's this video of this guy who says he has a spirit box and it looks like a jukebox. And you can look it up. It's called like Jesus Spirit Box or whatever. He says he can talk to Jesus through it.
Wow.
And like, it's just like weird audio recordings that come out of this machine. And like, they have subtitles of like what Jesus is saying. He also talks to Albert Einstein in that video, which is, you know.
And what does Albert Einstein say? Like, he likes chips or something. Nothing
of
relevant.
Funny? He said, according to the person, he said like, oh, Albert Einstein would also get into meditative, contemplative states, kind of like what he's doing right now with talking to Albert Einstein through this, you know, box or whatever. But it's like, man, I don't know.
Wow.
There's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. And part of that is because of cognitive dissonance, right? Sure. I think it's like, it's people who, I don't know, want to believe that something is true, or maybe have like a vested interest, or they have a community that supports them that really kind of gets it in there. Because like people like you and me, we're not invested in that at all, so it doesn't do anything for us. But maybe if we're in a time in our lives where we're looking for a sense of community or a sense of greater purpose or a sense of something else out there, I think that's right. The draw, right?
I still don't think there's any right to prey on people's like need for confirmation of anything. I don't think so.
It's one thing to give like an opinion, to say like, I think ghosts are real because I had an experience or something.
Right.
Like, okay, fine. Like, that's what you think. But it's another thing to be like, I'm going to set up this business that is entirely based on giving people a sense. I mean, I don't know. Like, I go back and forth on it because, like, you know, obviously somebody's getting something good out of it at the end of the day. Like, they're getting a sense of oxytocin in the brain or whatever. But, like, that can't last forever. They can't build a good, I feel like you can't build a solid foundation of life on that.
Right.
You know, right. I feel like you need to be based in reality, right? I don't know.
Open up a chocolate factory. It does the same thing. You can give people chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, well, it does that and a lot more if the Willy Wonka movies are to be believed.
Sure.
I don't know. He didn't seem very happy.
But he had a lot of Oompa Loompas. So, you know, it's pros and cons.
Is that a pro?
I don't know.
Is it? I don't know. But anyway. Anyway,
where did this just go?
That was a story. I don't know. We went some places, but that was a story I wanted to tell you, John, about this.
I enjoyed
this weird encounter. And it's like, I'm the one person that you don't want to talk to about this because I will tell people. But anyway, no, it's fine. If you're watching this show, A Person I Talk on the Boat, you know, come call up. Come, you know, if you have a different opinion, I'd love to hear it. And everybody else watching this show, you should definitely be calling in and talking to us and giving your opinions, because that's what we're here for. We want to hear from you. We're a little early, but, you know, I think we can jump into it. I want to go ahead and start talking to people. But before we do that, I want to give a shout out to the patron of the week, because every single week, we always give a shout out to a patron on Patreon. Of course, want to thank everybody that donates on the Patreon, but we always give a special shout out. And this week's special shout out, the patron of the week is iHeartDogs. Thank you so much, iHeartDogs. iHeartDogs too.
Me too.
What a great name. I love it when people have cool names like that on the Patreon. So thank you to everybody once again who donates on there. Please consider going to our Patreon. Link for that's going to be in the description. And we love everybody that donates. But for now, it's time to talk to some people. You ready to do that, John?
That's why I'm here. Obviously to hear your stories as well, but I want to speak to some folks.
Yeah, well, let's speak to some folks. We got a few people who want to talk to us. Now, this is a hot take, I think. I don't know if it's super hot. This is an interesting take. We got Nevin, who's calling in from Australia. Nevin, you are live on Truth Wanted. What's up?
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Going pretty good. Yeah, talking good, about right? The ethics of horoscope apps. And now we're talking to you. So what's happening?
Yeah, very interesting. So I guess I wanted to call up. I listen to you guys a lot. And I guess a lot of my friends call me a conspiracy theorist. So, like, you know, it was just to call up and discuss that. Like, I obviously see that there are distinctions and lines and areas of grey. So I am a conspiracy theorist. I get very interested and intrigued in conspiracy theories. But obviously I get lumped in sideways with people who go, you know, that we never landed on the moon and things like that, you know.
Okay.
I did 18 months of study of astrophysics at university. So I have just enough knowledge to be dangerous. And sure. So I have serious questions about the moon landing, which I don't have answers to. I don't say we didn't land on the moon. I can't say that. There's absolutely no way for me to say that. But there are answers that no one, there are questions that I have.
Are you saying, you're just asking questions, Nevin? Is that what it is? You're just asking questions?
Yes, I am. I don't want to go, yes, I am. If someone wants to provide the answers to those questions, I'm more than happy to. Like, I don't say that I don't know what happened. But I can happily lay out the questions that I have for anyone and go, and I go, same with 9/11. I go the same thing. Like, just because you go, there are unanswered questions about 9/11 that I have that have not been sufficiently answered by anyone, does that mean that you are a conspiracy theorist or deserve to be lumped in with people who go, it was an inside job and this was the guy who was reading and George W. Bush was watching from here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One take.
I hear you, Nevin. Yeah. I hear you. I think the people are low key. I think a lot of Americans in particular low key believe in at least one conspiracy or two. I really think they do. And they don't say it out loud because they don't want to be a quote unquote conspiracy theorist. Like there is a stigma, at least here in the States with the word. I'm sure it is in Australia and the rest of the Anglo-Saxon English speaking, you know, parts of the world. Because like obviously conspiracy theorists, especially in recent years, good God, have done a lot of shit that isn't very good. So you don't want to be lumped in with those people. Right. But at the same time, like I can sit here and tell you, Nevin, like, yes, conspiracies have definitely happened. And people that have theorized about conspiracies that have happened, those conspiracies have ended up being true. Like that's just the historical fact. You can look at that. You have to obviously say that with a limited sense of that word though, right? It doesn't mean, oh, well, yeah, conspiracies happen. Therefore we should question the moon landing or 9/11 or anything else. Like, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's not, you know, this slippery slope, but like you do have to put it into context, and that kind of nuance is hard for a lot of people, especially when you're talking about specific historical events or things that require technical or specific knowledge. As you're talking about, you know, you being an astrophysicist, there's going to be questions you have that I'm definitely not going to have the answers for. So it doesn't make for good casual conversation, but it does make for interesting inquiry, which a lot of crackpots are good at. They're good at asking like questions that maybe nobody can answer, but you know, maybe isn't relevant at the same time. Also, not saying that's what you do, Nevin, but like there is that's the parallel, right? That's why people might call you a conspiracy theorist. But I don't know. I think it's okay to question narratives and see like why something is true. But you know, there's also times where that might not be appropriate. I don't know. What do you think, Don?
And it's also just because you don't have an answer to a question that you specifically have, that doesn't necessarily have to mean that the thing in question did or didn't happen.
Yeah.
You just got to go to the right places to go and find an adequate answer for what you're looking for.
Yeah. 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 So I don't know, but I sympathize with you in the sense that like there's a lot of things I wish I knew the answer to that I don't, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to like, you know, tear the whole thing down. Like, I don't want people to say, oh, well, you're just crazy. You just don't know what you're talking about. I talked about what the CIA did like a couple of weeks ago. And that was like a shock for some people because they never heard that. Yes, the CIA has actively conspired against American citizens and has done stuff like that. That's a recorded fact of history that has been talked about in lots of places. Doesn't mean that your neighbor down the street is actually a CIA agent, though. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, now, what do you think?
We had the same thing here. It was a conspiracy theory here in Australia for a really long time that the CIA and the Queen Elizabeth had overthrown the democratically elected government of Australia.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard stuff that the Queen was killed by a group, which is like, I mean, what was she doing that needed to be killed, to be honest?
I heard one that she's not dead, and Charles was like, come on, mother, it's my turn now, and just put her in like a home or something.
He wanted to at least be king for a little bit.
Many.
But she did overthrow the democratically elected government of Australia.
Well, I mean, America has overthrown democratically elected governments too. Like that's the thing that just happens.
Involved as well. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. See. And see. I can say that to you with a straight face and say, yeah, that's a fact that's happened. Like that there's no question. But like, you know, how do you go about conveying that information with the proper context, and supporting yourself without looking like you're a weirdo? Because like that to somebody who like myself, who grew up in a very conservative Christian household. Actually, well, conservative Christians in this country are actually probably more susceptible to a lot of conspiracy theories. But you know, like I was pretty milquetoast in my environment, right? Like if you start coming out with that kind of stuff, I don't know, that would turn off a lot of people I know. So I don't know. How do you do it? I guess you just have to be as resourceful as you can and be as tactful as you can and not and actually show what you're talking about. And I mean, your credentials in any particular field is probably going to help with that. But I'm just like a dude on the internet that just like talks for a show. So I don't know why people think I'm credible or anything, to be honest.
And if you've got plenty of evidence to support it, then does it then become just a regular theory rather than a conspiracy? Just do some research and go, you know.
But it does. I don't know. The moon landing does. For instance, there's a YouTube video of, you can look it up on YouTube. There is a video of oh my God, I'm completely blanking, of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin faking the size of the Earth through the window in the space shuttle. You can look that up on YouTube. It's their voices, and they're being instructed on how to position the camera to make the size of the Earth. Look, it's on YouTube. It's from there. I'm pretty sure they were only in space the one time together. I don't think that they made regular trips on, you know, to film like videos. I don't know. They may have, but there's no explanation for that video.
Okay, so I didn't realize. So you actually don't think the moon landing happened?
Not theirs, no. Some of them. Okay. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. See, I thought we were starting this conversation with you saying, "Oh, I have questions about stuff," but you actually don't believe it. See, that's different. That's a different thing.
Okay. Well, I don't believe that they landed on the moon. I don't say that they didn't, but I have a lot of questions that aren't answered about that one. And then there are further ones about the further moon landings. And I have like, because I know them in detail. I've studied
Well, so this video that you're talking about, I haven't seen it. I have no idea. But could, just for argument's sake, could something like that be faked? A video to prove that the moon landing didn't happen. Could something like that be faked?
Absolutely, it could be.
And so how would we go about like showing whether or not that video was or wasn't faked?
Well, NASA could say that video was 100% fake, and like, I don't know, like there could be some sort of disclaimer to say that that's a fake video. I don't know that NASA have said that it's not a real video. I can't find anywhere to say that it's not, it's debunked as a fake video.
Certainly something to think about.
I don't know. Like, I feel like that has to be, you know, if I was going to disprove the moon landing, I don't think obviously it sounds like you have other points, but my strongest wouldn't be there's a YouTube video with voices about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because Neil and Buzz Aldrin are on the record of saying, like, they've done a million interviews with people asking about it. They're like, yeah, we went to the moon, and they could tell you about it. And they, you know, there's other people that were helpful on those missions and stuff. And I've been to Houston several times because I'm in Texas, and you can see all the equipment they used and stuff, you know? So I don't know. For me, the preponderance of the evidence is they did go to the moon.
Right.
Like, you know, that's the conclusion I land on. But maybe you don't feel the same way.
I get that. Like, again, and you know, spent years looking into it. And again, over years of discussing all the points with my partner finally came around to the conclusion one day after, like, laying out evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence, went, wow, okay, well, that really, like, and just went, okay, and now has the same thing as me. I don't know, but it really does sound like there's something dodgy going on there, which I, you know, I just say there is more to it, way more to it. There's, you know, no scorch marks, the video footage of no scorch marks under a rocket that was supposed to launch a vehicle from the moon and bring it down. You know, there's a semi-explanation for that. The photos that were used double. NASA explains why they used photos twice and changed the background in them. But that's a weird and dodgy explanation. It's to go, oh, well, we had a number of stock footage that we used. For your moon promotional videos? Like, okay, I think that's a weird explanation from NASA, personally. And I think the fact that we went to the moon in, 6 years, 7 years last time, from scratch, shooting. This time we've been planning it for that long and we're still going, oh, we don't really know how we're going to do this. I get that there's differences in its safety, but it's 60 years and that computer that they use has less computing power than our phones. I would think that they would be much more easily able to get to the moon than much more difficulty able to. That's a bad word.
I agree that it looks weird, at least on that last one, but there's like NASA in the United States, right, has been a political hotbed for like politicians giving and then not giving them budgets they need for like certain missions and stuff. And also like they also are going to follow whatever the United States administration is going to be most important. So from like NASA also helps with like defense stuff, right? So like they've used a lot of NASA tech for that, those kinds of resources and stuff. And like the moon, going to the moon just doesn't make as much sense as it used to. Plus also the first time we went to the moon was totally a political thing in the first place, right? Anyway, you can, if you want to talk about clips of audio you want to hear on YouTube, Nevin, you'd be interested in the call between I forget his name. Was it James? Well, I think it was James Webb, right? Director of NASA at the time with John F. Kennedy. Like the Kennedy Archives has that on YouTube of Kennedy basically being like, listen, I want us to get to the moon. We've got to beat the Russians. And yeah. Like, and they're like, well, we don't know about whether men could explode on the moon or something. And JFK is like, I don't care. We got to get to the moon. Like that's a whole thing. Like that, you know, anyway, there's a lot of politics.
It was known as the space race. It was called the space race because it was a race to get there before everybody else.
Yeah. Now, if you want to talk about space conspiracies, there is evidence to suggest that the Russians were doing some sketchy stuff with their astronauts. Okay. That's a whole thing, but you know, I mean, well, they spent Sputnik and stuff up there, but like there are astronauts that did not return. Yeah. And maybe it was because of other things than what they say happened. But like, you know, who's to say at this point? I don't know. I'm not an expert on those. Yeah, but the point is, there's
stories about what may have happened to Alan Shepard as well, just on the NASA side as well. Just,
yeah, exactly. The thing about the moon stuff, though, is that it's so hard to talk about it with people because there's a million different angles you can approach it with. And 90% of it requires more than the bachelor's degree of whatever the fuck I have to talk about. So I leave it to other experts to really get that stuff. But, you know, maybe if you send some stuff in the Truth Wanted email account, we can look at some of it, I guess. But like, I can't prove to you right now that we went to the moon over phone call. I don't know. I don't know if I can do that.
No, again, my point was I just think the discussion gets shut down around those things and it's hard for you to lay out the evidence because people will just go, conspiracy theorist, nut job, and you're gone from there. And it's like, hang on, I've got this layer of evidence, man, like, you know, and they're like, you're a nut job, man, like, you're a freak. Look, you've got evidence about the moon landing. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
I agree that the pre-pod, and I'm sorry, I feel like I'm talking so much here, John.
No, you're fine. I'm enjoying it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you know, if you feel like there is something that you have questions on and you want answers to, I think you have every right to say, like, oh, I don't know what the answer to this is.
Yeah.
And this causes me concern because, like, look, that's how I got out of Christianity. It's like, oh, there's answers because people say they have answers for every single Christian thing. And I don't believe the shit that they say about it. Now, granted.
Right.
A different conversation, but like, you know, point is you have a right to question, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think you have a right to not be called a nut job just for asking questions.
I don't think you're a nut job at all, Nevin.
No, I'm definitely, you know, I know this is Truth Wanted and I'm supposed to cover the conspiracy stuff, but like, unless we have specific point by point stuff, it's hard to talk about, especially if we're talking about like videos I haven't seen, on the air. But anyway, Nevin, I do appreciate you calling in and talking about it.
But I obviously, that's not like a good conversation. Like,
it's not very good show material, to be honest. Yeah. You know,
of course,
it's gotta, you know, I gotta make sure.
Just for context, since I'm an Australian calling in, when you do your Bigfoot stuff, Australia, it's a bunyip.
A bunyip.
I'm sure my aunt had a bunyip.
Bunyip.
I think I've heard that before.
No,
that's really funny.
That.
Oh man, bunyip. Well, Nevin, thanks so much. I gotta Google bunyips later then and figure out what that whole thing's about. But thanks again for your call. I do appreciate it. That took a different turn though.
Yeah,
I thought he was just saying, I'm just like, I have stuff I don't know, and I was like, yeah, I agree with that. And he was like, I have X, Y, Z, Y, B, you know, and like.
This is why we didn't land on the moon. What? Okay.
I didn't know that was the conclusion you landed on.
I think it's just it's always important to analyze evidence like that with like a fine tooth comb and go, could this really be evidence against this? You know, really, a video like that. This is like, it's 2022. Videos can be faked. There's deep fake for crying out loud. You can make anything with a computer these days. Anybody can do anything just with a computer. So was it a fake video? I don't know, but it could possibly have been.
Yeah,
so.
I wouldn't do videos. I would probably stick with scholarly sources if I can.
Yeah, right.
It's the thing where it's like too, right? Where you're so interested also, and I'm not saying this is Nevin's deal, but I've definitely talked to people where they're so interested in figuring out the minutiae that they really miss out on the bigger narrative, right? Like actually, well, this kind of pertains to a call we had before who's talking about 9/11, who said, I don't believe that, how did these hijackers take over this plane that was full of people? And and was the suggestion that these were all crisis actors. And it's just like, but like, we have so many interviews with people who knew these people and like can tell you stories, and we have flight records, and it's like, you're missing the broader thing here.
You're narrowing down too much on a fine detail. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, we may not ever know some of those specifics, but like, that doesn't mean that the bigger stuff doesn't matter either. Right.
And we can get like telescopes. Can you not like get really powerful telescopes and look at the moon and see? I don't know how good they are.
I don't think you can with like
not like one from Walmart. Telescope. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
A powerful one.
I'm pretty sure you can do like Google Moon, right? Google has or Google Space or whatever, and you can like on the planets and stuff. But you know, they would just say, well, that's fake too.
Yeah. And you'll see Neil Armstrong on a beach towel with his
he's there out, and he's with the car waving. That Tesla shot into space too. He's he's hanging out. But
there you go.
Anyway,
this is the real moon. Neil Armstrong's butt. There you go.
Neil Armstrong's butt. I used to think like low key maybe the moon was made of cheese because I saw that Wallace and Gromit.
I grew up on Wallace and Gromit. Love it.
Right?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Grand day out.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
There you go. Makes
anyway,
sense.
So real quick before we get to another call, I just want to tell you guys about how you can support this show. If you want to do that, of course, I already mentioned our Patreon, which is tiny.cc/patreontw. But there's also a couple other things that you can do. One is by becoming a member. If you become a member and you're watching this on YouTube, you get emojis in the chat and your name gets highlighted in the chat as well. And also you'll be immune to chat timeouts. And you can do that for as little as 99 cents a month, which is like not that much in the grand scheme of things. So if you want to throw some money our way, that would be super helpful. And again, also myself, John, everybody else that hosts, we do not get paid to do this. All that is going to go towards the ACA. Well, actually, we're for YouTube membership. Part of that does go to YouTube. But if you want to support the ACA and just the ACA, you can do that if you shop on Amazon. You can actually support the ACA at no extra cost to you because you can go to tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA. And you can designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity. And Amazon will donate a portion of their profit directly to the ACA. So if you like don't like Amazon and you like want them to make less money, that's actually an effective way to do that. And you're helping a nonprofit. Just saying, that's an angle you should consider when doing this. But hey, thank you to everybody who supports us in all of the awesome different ways. You guys are really cool. With that out of the way, John, let's talk to some more people.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
All right. Well, we got Jamie, who's calling in from Texas. Jamie, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's up?
Hello there. Another fellow Brit in America.
Oh, Jamie. Shit.
And I'm
Listen, tired of these Brits coming into America. All right. Ridiculous.
Oh.
It's a crisis.
I want you to say only British words.
They're taking our jobs. We don't like it. Taking all the tea prices here have skyrocketed since you guys have come in. Sorry, I was giving my joke at the same time you were giving yours.
Oh, I was just going to say, I could just put on my strongest Birmingham accent because that's where I'm from.
Oh, he's a Brummie. He's a Brummie, right? These guys have no idea what we're saying now.
I don't speak Klingon. No, it's not my thing, but... Anyway, Jamie, what do you want to call in about?
I'll get to my point, Russ. So, again, this is you say, what do you believe? And get your opinions on it. Now, this is an observation, a quote-unquote hot take. from living here for a few years, I've noticed that one of the aspects of American culture that I don't think I'm ever going to be able to get over, because it's been so distorted, especially in recent years, but I think it goes back a long time, is that there's a lionization of concepts like freedom and liberty and choice. You know, it's literally the, you know, land of the free, you know. But all of the freedom is constrained, all of the choices are illusory, and it's incredibly damaging because it stops people from trying to affect change. One of the major talking points that's stopping us from getting proper universal health care in America is that people don't want their choices taken away. Oh, yeah. It's the government. It'll only be one choice. Ooh.
Right.
Yep. And I'm like, but you only do have one choice because it's the cheapest insurance you can afford, usually the one that you get through your job, or spend more money, which only rich people can do. So there is no choice, really. Not really.
Yeah.
Right.
So I just wanted your opinions on that. Have you observed that, John, as a British implant?
So I have been thrown in at the deep end because I wasn't allowed to work when I first got here. So if I got sick, I would have had to have relied on my wife to have anything done. It does seem, and I don't want to insult anybody because I love living in this country and I wouldn't have come here if I don't want to live here. But it does seem quite backwards, the whole way that healthcare is dealt. And you would know, Jamie, because you're from a place where they do a universal kind of free healthcare. It's not free. People pay for it, but it works over there. And you can not always get an appointment straight away because there's lots of people using the system, but it's free. That's the main thing, that is that it's free. And yeah, I've noticed that I've got a bit of a story. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it, but I'm going to mention it. It's that the whole healthcare system here is very money hungry. I'm aware of situations where doctors will take the most expensive route on purpose because they just want to get money and into the hospital. And it's quite sickening. It's shocking in a way. So yeah, I'm a witness to it. But what can we do? What can we do as two little British people in this country? What can we do to help guide the government to doing something for everyone that would make sense for everyone? Mm-hmm. And like you say, it's not just the government. It's the people going, well, I don't want to pay healthcare like a premium healthcare for everybody else. I just want it for me. I just want this thing for me. Mm-hmm. Whereas if everybody just paid, I don't know, what, $75 a year, everybody in the country, however hundreds of millions of people there are here, that's a lot of money that could pay for the healthcare in this country. You know,
healthcare spending in this country is exponentially higher than anywhere else. Because it's a for-profit industry. I pay as much out of my paycheck, and my employer pays as much out of the money they pay me in not only in Medicare taxes, because we still pay towards Medicare. Like, we still pay tax towards Medicare, but we're also paying to private insurance companies. And that total amount is more than the national insurance payment I was paying back in England. So I'm paying more for less, and I've still got to pay co-payments and deductibles and all this.
Right.
Deny me service. Oh, I don't get an ambulance. They're not covered. That'll be several thousand dollars.
Yeah.
Jamie, can I interrupt you here? Yeah. So it's like, I got to tie this in because this isn't like the politics in the morning show, but this is truth wanted. So here's how I tie this in. There is a religion in this country that isn't Christianity, and it is American exceptionalism, right? Oh. So like in the very roots, at least the myth that is told in this country, right, is that, you know, people came across boats, party people. They went across the ocean and then across this country, settled into this land, built it themselves, did everything themselves without anybody's help, and built this country based on these ideas of, like, you know, liberty, freedom, stuff like that, right? Some stuff which I would say, like, yeah, like freedom and stuff in a vacuum, I don't know if it's good or bad. That can mean a lot of things, but like for the most part, maybe it's good, right? Like most people would agree, like liberty is a good thing. Freedom is a good thing. You get that. But at the same time, you miss out on what could actually be better for you if you understand the context of working together in a group or working together on things that you couldn't do for yourself. This show, for example, is not just run by hosts or any of the atheist community shows are. It's run by a lot of crew, a lot of people. And Americans, they think that they're like the show hosts. They think that everything is on them and they have to do it. But really, there's a whole backbone of government in this country that actually gets a lot of shit done that people don't realize. And like that has so many ties into religion. It's not even funny. Like how much does evangelicalism and fundamentalist, you know, beliefs in particular have also tied into this American centric ideals is quite palpable. I remember in college, my media studies professor showed a clip of Joel Osteen's church. And it was like panning around the whole church. He was giving some sermon. And in the back of the church, there was an American flag. And he paused the video and he was like, why is this there? Why is this flag there? And like, it just kind of opened my eyes a little bit. It was just like, yeah, why is the American flag in the church? Right? Because Jesus wasn't an American. And unless you're like one of those prophecy people, like the Bible does not talk about America. So I don't, what does that have to do with it? And it's like, we do believe like the principles of liberty and freedom are also inherently Christian ones. Like people will tie that in. It's crazy. And it becomes the overwhelming dogma. I don't know what I'm trying to say with this, just that there is a through line here. There is a through line. You know?
There is. I didn't mean to go off on a tangent about policy. I do want to keep it towards belief. And I also would like to say, just to sort of temper the argument a little bit, temper the thing, that like religion and religious dogmas, the lionization of freedom and choice and liberty can be a force for good. On an individual level, I have rarely met people who are as generous and self-sacrificing and welcoming and polite as Americans, especially like in the Southern hospitality is a real thing. Mm-hmm. Like they'll welcome you in with open arms.
Yeah.
Asterisk.
But also, Jamie, also low key, like you're also British. Dude, yeah. You're also British. Americans love British people.
That does help us.
Look, if you were of a darker skin tone and did not have an accent that people might find appropriate or adorable, like that they may treat you differently. Like there's just a precedent for that, you know. And I've seen it happen. Well, like as an American,
this was the joke when I was going through my immigration procedures, and you have to keep your cards on you. Because if you don't have money, you can get in trouble. It's like, I'm not going to get in trouble. Why? Because I'm not beige.
And it's
kind of that true. Like the cops can't stop me because I'm just another chonky white dude.
Yeah. I don't know. Right. I guess what's the through line here? I mean, like principle, like unquestioned belief in American exceptionalism and American supremacy does give you a false sense of like what we're capable of on our own as a people, right? And like this idea, you brought up a great point about choice, what we really have, and like you can't even get abortions in this country anymore,
right?
You know, we don't even celebrate choice in every aspect, just in the ones that like white Christians think is appropriate. Honestly, like it is a predominantly white Christian paradigm.
Right.
That has run the narrative in this country of what is supposed to be good.
Are you a believer or a non-believer, Jamie? I'm sorry to ask.
Oh,
that
I am a staunch atheist. Completely.
Oh, okay.
Skeptic.
Yeah. So you probably get
one of yours, John.
Yeah, I'm clearly a non-believer, but I don't know how it works for you. But when that comes up in conversation in the South, because I also live in the South, I live in Kentucky, when that comes up, just the attitude changes ever so slightly.
And the fact that it's so pervasive. Here's another, again, I don't want to take up all your time, but I will segue here to religion as a culture shock to a British person, because we're quite secular. Considering the National Anthem's first word is God.
God, right.
Secular as a society. I work for a call centre for a large cancer charity, and the amount of people who sign off the phone by saying, have a blessed day.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you even say to that?
Not happen in the UK. Thank
no.
you for what you say.
No.
Really? That's interesting, though. I mean, I guess that makes sense, but like, that's such a common phrase here. I don't know.
Yeah. There's got to be a good counter for that, though, but not like an offensive one. I'm all about not being offensive to folks. I like to leave them as they leave me. So, you know, if someone's going to be nice to me, I'll be nice back. And have a blessed day. I understand the why that would be said, but there's got to be something we can say back that, you know, that has like equal connotation, but without the religious back. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Leave me upon you.
My standard sign off is thank you, and you take care now, right?
Yeah, there you go.
You can still be blessed.
You too.
Maybe you are blessed. Yeah. I'm hashtag blessed. You know, like just I don't know. Mm. But yeah, I that is interesting. I am it is funny because you know you look at the history of the UK and that really wasn't always the thing. Like I mean, the reason why there's a monarchy or at least a justified in a lot of people's minds, it's because it's the will of God. Mm-hmm. Like that was definitely a thought process for a long time.
Oh yeah.
And that's just racial supremacy in a different form. That's just saying I'm God's chosen people. And like in any other context, that sounds really bad, but like that's what it was for a while. Obviously that's not what a lot of people believe today, but it's there. The history's there.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one last observation and then literally talk 4 hours because I like it's Brit to Brit.
Brit to Brit communications.
The English, according to Anglican, and that means Episcopalian doctrine, God's representative on earth just died and nobody in England cares. They care that she died because she was cool and she was the queen and she was awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm not particularly a royalist, however, but no one's like, oh no, God's chosen one and the mantle has passed to her son.
Right.
We don't care.
Oh, man.
Like, no. Our Pope just died and no one cares.
Man, yeah.
Anyway,
man. Hot takes on the Queen. Thank you so much, Jamie, for calling
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, Jamie.
And giving your perspective. Last week, Aaron was on the show, and right that day, I remember asking, so like, are we going to talk about the Queen? And she was like, yeah, I want to talk about the Queen. I was like, hold on. I think we have the same opinions, and I think our takes might be too hot for the British people who watch our show. I don't know.
Got it.
But needless to say, we're not royalists, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not royalists. We don't feel that type of way, but I don't know. It's an interesting situation.
I love the Queen. I will always love the Queen.
I like the band.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Oh, I was talking about the band.
Oh, yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. That's don't good. Stop me now. You know, that was going through my head as I was saying it. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And that new movie was great too. Anyway, before we keep talking to you guys, again, we have some open lines. We still got some time to talk to folks. So if you're on the lines right now, please stay on. We need to show you what's going on with some of the other shows that are happening here. So here's a quick promo.
Essentially, a bunch of white, cis, hetero dudes, most of them Christian evangelicals, planted their ideological and religious flags inside the uteruses of 2 million Oklahoma women.
But I also don't want to, like, support or encourage anyone else to help Matt Walsh profit off of this thing. If you feel like hate watching it and you like to sail the seven seas, then that might be up your alley if you catch my drift. Yar.
And speaking on this, Norty mentioned it was an at conception abortion ban. You wouldn't see these men proposing a preconception abortion ban. Because a preconception abortion ban would ban men from masturbating to climax.
And I don't have to constantly be shamed of my life and think that there's a God watching me masturbate. And I mean, that's a small example. But
that's not how you feel about things. That.
Like, if you're God, what do you plan to do? You're in Kentucky, it says. Are you going to you have a big plan? I mean, the end of the world coming. What's the next step for you/God?
And we are back to the show here. John, I'm excited for these next couple calls.
Really?
I think they're going to be good ones. Yeah,
you get to see what's coming up. And I'm like,
I get to see what's coming up. I think you're going to like this one. We're going to talk to Greg, who's calling in from Ohio. Greg, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's going on?
Hello, hello. I used to be Iles Anderson, fundamentalist, right?
Okay.
So I'm sure you're familiar with that, right? Probably. So anyway, we get out of that. And oh, yeah. So we got out of that a long time ago, but, you know, still go to church. My wife still goes to church. But as I was studying some things, I changed my perspective a lot. Now, so that while I'm in the confusion or trying to figure out what's going on, okay, I download an app on my phone that says Ghost Radar Connect, right? And I didn't make it or nothing like that. It's just on Play Store. I think it's like $1.99 or something, right? So put this thing to the test, okay? I'm sitting there, first time I use it, right? I'm sitting there looking out the window. It's October. It's raining outside. And the darn thing says my middle name, and it says October Rain. I'm like, oh, well, that's okay. All right. So then I take it in the there's a friend I was hanging out with at the time, and I took him. He says, let's go use it in the cemetery. I'm like, all right. So we get through the cemetery, and nothing's happening. It's not saying anything. And just spontaneously gives you a word, like if it detects or whatever, and how it does that, I don't know. Don't know how it works. But anyway, so we're about to leave the cemetery, and it says, wait, Mrs. Manifest. I'm like, well, that's cool. So we look over, we didn't see nothing manifest, but hey, it's interesting. So, you know, and I use this different place. Like, I'll be walking down the mall, and I'm passing, like, the beauty store, and it says, beautiful us. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then the other day, I take it, and I'm going through the cemetery, a different cemetery, and I come up to a tombstone of a guy that died in the early 1800s, and spaced about 3 or 4 feet away from him is not his wife per se, but it says his consort on the tombstone. But I walk up to her, and immediately it says wife. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. like, no, I'm not his consort. I'm his wife, you know? I'm like, okay, this is really interesting. Then I go to another, this is a really historic cemetery. Has some really important people, too, in American history, all Revolutionary War veterans and everything. And anyway, so I go to a house that was built by some of the families of these people in the cemetery. It's a big mansion, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess there's a bunch of ghost people in there, right? I didn't even know that at the time. I just was like, I just want to see what's in this this building. Yeah. And so I go in there, and they say, okay, for $10, you can walk around this mansion and, you know, I mean, let us know if you hear any ghosts or anything. Okay, why not? I'm interested in history. I want to check out the mansion. So I walk in there, and it's the second I step into this room that there's a sign on the door that says music room. I walk in there, and it says sing. I walk over to the window, and it says rain. And then, like, a minute later, it starts raining. Huh. And I'm kind of walking around this place. It's pretty big. So, like, I can't find my way back right away, you know, because, you know, I haven't been in there before. And while I'm kind of like, okay, which way do I go? It goes through the path. And I look on the floor, and there's, like, kind of a worn area, like, where it goes back to the start. And I'm like, okay. Oh. So I go a little path. I go back to the front, you know, and I'm telling the two girls there that are running this old mansion built back in the 1830s and or 40s or something like that. And I'm telling them, you know, what's going on. They're talking about the ghosts and the ghost tours they do and all this. I'm like, okay. And they think it's all haunted and everything. And I notice they get a pendulum and a dowsing rod, okay, for sale, right? I said, you guys ever use those? I mean, do they mean anything to you? They're like, oh, yeah, we use them all the time. I said, all right, can you show me? She's like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. She says, here, we'll see if, you know, they'll answer us, right? So she picks up the pendulum, and she's trying to, you know, she asked the ghost or whatever. She's holding the pendulum, and it's just a quartz crystal maybe, and it's just on it like a, I don't know, metal chain. And so she's holding it, and her arms are real still. And I'm like 2 feet from her hands because I want to see her move this thing, right? And she says, okay, if you want to say yes to my questions, make it go in a circle. And that thing starts going in a big circle, not like little tiny where, you'd have to guess whether or not it's really doing it. I mean, it's really going.
So I'm just going to jump in a second. There's a lot. That's a lot to take in.
There's
lots of, if we were to break up all of this into miniature stories, like just the pendulum swinging. So this woman, she works in the ghost hunting place. Is that what you said? And she was holding the pendulum.
A ghost tour guide.
I need to go and do it.
She runs like the ghost tours of the town and that stuff.
So
right?
What? So are you saying you're saying that you are a believer now? You weren't, but now you are in the supernatural, like, spiritual realm. Is that what we're saying?
Well, there's some. Oh, it gets creepier, man. There's some weird things that go on. Like, I know this.
Well, yeah, but just a yes or no. Like, yeah. where do you stand on the spirit realm? Are you a believer or are you a non-believer?
I'm seeing something happen.
Okay.
Yeah, say for sure what it is. So I'm kind of like,
okay.
You know,
because you can't explain something, does that then necessarily does that make it so? Just because you can't explain a phenomenon, because you don't have a reason for it, does that then mean
1800s, right?
Yeah, right. Like, you know, Madame Blavatsky, right? You know, like they'd have the mistresses, and they'd make the tables rise, and then people would go and investigate him. Like, P. Hall, Manly P. Hall would like go investigate.
Right.
They would prove him wrong and stuff like that. So I know people with financial interests can they might have some gimmicks.
Sure.
This, right.
Yeah. Sure.
So I'm like 2 feet. I'm aware of this, right? I mean, I've read so much. Like, I'm an avid reader. I know, you know, a lot of history. So I'm checking this girl's arm, and I'm like, is this thing gonna, you know? And I thought I saw her hand move just a teeny little bit. So I told her, I said, I think, you know, it kind of looked like your hand moved just a little bit right then.
Yeah.
Where I walked around the mansion, and it says, observe. And then right then her hand like locked in place. Like it didn't move even the tiniest little fraction of a bit.
I'm going to jump in a second because I have a, I'm going to stop you just for a second, Greg. I'm really enjoying this. However, hand movements are a very subtle thing. And I'm not saying this is what happened, but I'm going to demonstrate something. I have a key here. And I don't know if you'll be able to see the key, but this key, if you look at it, just it slowly, ever so slightly, just starts. I don't have to move my hand, and it turns by itself.
Look at that. And he's doing Penn and Teller over here.
That was real spirits just moved this key right on my hand. I don't know why I even have this in this little box. But, you know, you don't have to see.
I'm not sure what's going on.
But you will enjoy that. Trust me. Go back. You'll see some real spirits interacting with me. Right. But you don't actually have to, like, move your hand very much to make something happen is where I'm saying on that. So like, you can break these little stories down into sections and go, okay, a word appeared. It wasn't the same word that was on this gravestone, but it was very similar. So that must mean that it was X.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. Yeah. Right?
Doesn't necessarily make it so though.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying. But I'm loving the stories.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I know they're a lot of fun. So that's why there's always
possible
deniability where you can just be like, hey, maybe it is, maybe it ain't, right? No, I know.
Right.
Yes. The dowsing rods.
That's why you just kind of stay on the fence with these things a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't even think you have to stay on the fence, Greg. I think you can jump over the fence and say that it's bullshit. I really do. Because like the dowsing rods in particular, right? What John was doing just now, it's ideomotor movement, right? You maybe you've heard of this word before, but people who do autographic writing.
Yeah, also writing.
You know, where you like...
Automatic writing.
Automatic writing. Thank you so much. Where you stick your hand in the middle with the pen, mm-hmm. and then suddenly you start writing out stuff, you know, the like entire mini cults have been started on that kind of stuff. And dowsing rods, it's the same principle, mm-hmm. right? It's small hand movements that you don't even realize that you're moving and making, but you're able to do. And I guarantee you, someone who works at a ghost tour place is probably really practiced at it and probably really makes it look like that they can't move their hand.
They're trying to make some money. Yeah.
And you said that there was this ghost hunting app and only a few months ago.
Yeah.
Only a few months ago. A fellow came on.
Yeah.
And he explained that he created this app that magically makes words appear and it just gives you a very spooky experience. And
Greg, there is a non-zero chance we just talked to the guy who made the app that you use.
Like
not even joking.
Hey, check it out. See if it's the same one. We'll go back.
It sounds very similar. We didn't
radar.
We didn't ask for the name because we wanted it to be anonymous for his sake, right? But like, you know,
but Terry did a great job on that app.
Yeah.
Oh, it wasn't Terry. Wasn't I just made it?
That's funny. But no, like seriously, like again, I would just start the show talking about people who just make apps to do exploitative things, right? And like, I'd be curious to know what this app says that it works on. Is it reading electromagnetic fields? Is that something an iPhone can even do? What is it doing? Like,
and I play a great game called Pokemon Go, and the weather on the game mirrors what's going on in real life because it reads algorithms from other apps. And so, you know, rain may well have come up for this thing because it was reading another app that's saying, well, right now it's raining, so that would make complete sense, you know?
Yeah,
so, it's not impossible. Somebody's really smart whoever did that to make it match like it does a lot, but it's not impossible. So I can't deny that it's at least conceivably possible, right? Now, one time I'm talking to this dude and his wife had been murdered, okay? And he's a friend of mine. I'm actually writing his biography, okay? Now, his wife had been murdered, and while I'm talking to him, it says the name of the guy that murdered him. And
or murdered her.
You said that this guy murdered his wife? That's what I just heard.
Wait, we need to back up. Are you saying you're writing a book about the guy who murdered his wife? Or did we miss that?
No. Okay. His wife was murdered. No.
Okay.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, that's a thing you need to report to the police right there.
Yeah. No, he did. Okay. It's definitely been reported to the police, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, look, we can speculate all day, right? Yeah. But, like, mm-hmm. I guarantee you, you're also going to get stuff that comes up that's just not going to make any sense, and it's mm-hmm. just noise. You know, our brains also are going to be filtering that's out the true. Stuff that's most meaningful. To us. Like,
count the misses as well as the hits, mm-hmm. and then you'll see, like, overall, maybe this is just a coincidence, that one time that something came up. And, wife coming up, what did you say, consort previously?
Yeah.
That was written. That's not even the same. It's not even the same. You just, you can link things that go, well, this is a lady laying here and wife is a woman. So, let's just put those together and, you know, make six from putting two and two, you know?
Right. I mean, I don't know. And also, you talked to Casper, the friendly ghost, too.
Yeah.
Like, and they're like helping you get directions and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's pretty fun.
And I've got a background in talking to the dead, which never actually happened. Yeah. And after just researching how, because I was desperate. One day I was like, I just want to start talking to the dead. My grandmother had promised me mm-hmm. that I was going to have the gift and that I could speak to these dead people. And the more I researched it, the more I just realized that actually talking to people that are no longer here is not going to happen.
What John doesn't realize is I've been dead the whole time and he's still talking to me.
I'm convinced. I'm convinced.
It's like that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Well, I'll be like streaming with this guy, right? This guy whose wife was murdered. I'll be like talking to him live, while I'm talking to him. So I'm going to fly off the shelf behind him and come crashing on the floor. Just a couple weeks ago, I was talking to him and something flew off the shelf from the other end of the room and hit him in the back. What was that?
Wow.
And that thing flew off the shelf. He says he leaves, he comes home and all of his books are piled up in the middle of the floor. You know, it's like weird stuff happens to this guy. And then he's the one that told me about the app to begin with, right?
I had a weird thing happen to me. I'm gonna interrupt with another thing. I part-time work at a local theater and it's supposedly haunted. Okay, there's a lady called Loretta died there, and I plugged my phone in to the sound system because I was playing some sound effects for a rehearsal that I was a part of, and we stopped the music, and half an hour later, an actual 30 minutes, maybe a little bit longer, a random song just started playing. No one was near the phone. And it was something about like living your best life, just started playing like a backing track for no reason, just started playing. Everybody in the theater freaked out because they've all heard stories about this place being haunted. And we, instead of going, it must have been Loretta, we started coming up with explanations. And I feel like maybe that would be a good thing for you to apply in this situation. Think about, I'm jumping straight to a supernatural cause for all this, but could there be a naturalistic reason that this happened? And after 20 minutes of talking back at this rehearsal, we deduced that it was actually my watch that connects to my phone had accidentally rubbed against material, which always happens, and accidentally hit play, and it auto played a random track through to my phone. So that was our explanation for it. Mm-hmm. Makes complete sense. So I like stories. I like hearing like what people believe and things that have happened to them. But I would
definitely, if anybody like buys the story or whatever, that's up to
It was a great story and I really enjoyed it.
Right. Now, when it comes like to apps, there's all kinds of explanations. I don't know the explanations for things flying off shelves. I mean, that was...
I would... and that's nothing to do with the app. Let's go back to the app for a second. I'm just going to interrupt you again. I'd definitely look at the fine print on the app, because the guy that we spoke to who designed an app very much like the one you're describing, he actually said that in the fine print, it does say this is for entertainment purposes only. So I definitely pull that up.
Well, of course.
Just have a look to see if that little text is there. Just, you know, Why not?
You know.
Well, I bet it probably is. Right.
There you go. Yeah.
But you know, Greg, when he said it's for entertainment purposes,
you have to, like, be interested, or is it just for fun?
No. It's not like an ambiguous, like, oh, no, Greg. I need to make sure you understand what we're saying when we say that. It's not just it could maybe be. He straight up told us, yeah, this is all bullshit. Like, the app designer himself said, this is bullshit, and I'm putting this on here as a warning. As an indicator.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying, I don't want you to take the takeaway being like, maybe it is or maybe it isn't. Like,
yeah, no. He said it wasn't. Full stop. This is not real.
That app. You can have any app.
That guy designed a BS app on purpose. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Does that mean everybody that designed one did that?
Okay, but
I don't know.
But who designed that? Who figured that out? Who was like, you know what? My iPhone has the capability to talk to dead people. Like, who did that? And, like, what systems are they using? Right?
Right.
We know how iPhones work. Like, it's not a mystery. Right. How electronic communications works between, like, cell phones and stuff, right? Like, or what ID chips do in there, or microchips. Like, there has to be a physical process that is happening in order for that app to function. Mm-hmm. So that
and also, like, don't you think that
function?
Don't you think that the guys that made the iPhone went, this speaks to dead people. We need to stop selling this as a phone and completely remarket it for this thing that talks to dead people, because that's the thing it does best. I'm sorry.
I think we belabored the point here. Greg, we got to talk to some other people. But, you know, we've given, hopefully, you've told us our stories and we've given our perspectives. I hope that you can take away with something learned, or at least something to consider, right?
Sure. Well, not that I didn't know your perspective on it already, but I think, you know, who knows? Leave it up there.
Yeah, most
pasta. Not that guy's app, though. That guy was telling you that. Yes. I don't know about all of them. I don't know. Maybe. Right. Maybe they all are.
Right. I think they all are.
that's my point.
And I'll say this too. I don't think you should base your evidence on ghosts based on the ghost tourist people, because they're in the same boat. If you ever,
to make money somehow.
My family's still in Louisiana. It's a niche industry there where you just become a ghost tour guide and they tell you the stories to tell and the little tricks and stuff. I mean, like, it's all theater. There's a reason why it's all the local community theater folks that also have jobs as the ghost tour guide. Like, that is an industrial complex that's happening, you know. But anyway, we've given our takes. I think we belabored the point.
I enjoyed that.
I knew you would. I knew you would, John. I knew you would. But hey, we got some more stuff I need to tell you guys about real quick. Okay, so we have a store with merchandise. So you should definitely check that out. It's tiny.cc/merchaca. Get all your favorite items, t-shirts, the hoodies, the coffee mugs. Check out the beanies, the cell phone cases, the tote bags. And we also have a special shirt. And this shirt, look, obviously, I have to say I love all the shirts, but I really love this shirt, guys. One, because I helped co-design it, but also because I just think it's great. It says lizard people are people too, and it has a lizard person on it, and I love it. I think it's great. So thanks so much for everybody who purchased it. And hey, check it out. Today, I'm wearing my Truth Wanted hoodie. It's been a little bit, but I just wanted to wear it. I like wearing hoodies in the house, even if it's, like, hot. So I don't know.
I was going to say, I hope your air's turned up. Because
it's fine. It's a comfort thing. I don't know what it is, but, you know, just something for me. And also, want to let you guys know that if you are on the go, you don't have time to watch the shows, you can just listen to audio versions of it if you go to tiny.cc/AEN podcast. And that's for all the audio versions of all of our shows, not just Truth Wanted, but you should definitely at least listen to Truth Wanted. I think it's a good idea. But, you know, that's just me. I understand not everybody feels the same way. But if you're watching this show, I think there's a good chance you'd be in. So check that out if you haven't already. Now, I got that stuff out of the way. Let's take another call. What do you think? You want to talk to some more people?
Come on. Yeah.
Come on. He's ready. He's ready.
I love it.
We got Daniel, who's calling in from Canada. Daniel, you are live on Truth Wanted. What is going on?
Hi, guys. Hi, John. Hi, Dan.
Hi.
Hello. We got international calls today, baby.
Great.
We got Australia. We got Canada. And we got a British guy from Texas, which counts, I think. Right.
He's from Birmingham. So, great.
Yeah.
Good on him.
So what's going on, Daniel?
I just wanted to talk about the alien abduction phenomena again. I've called in before to you, Dan.
Of course.
We've talked before.
Of course. Of course.
And I just think that, you know, it's been going on for like 60 years now, and there's been like tens of thousands, I don't know how many reports there are, and it continues to this day. And to me, I wonder, like, it's either three things. Either they're all lying. I mean, let's put it this way. Some are definitely lying, but there's a significant number, I think, that are just telling the truth. And of those people, is it all just a strange mental phenomenon that we don't understand?
When you say you think there has to be a significant people that are telling the truth, what do you mean by that? Because, like, I agree that there's people who definitely believe that they saw a UFO, but does that mean that they're telling the truth in that that's what actually happened, though?
Right. And out of all of those stories, and you say that some aren't true and some are, what about the stories would make something true versus something that isn't true? And how would you tell those apart?
Yeah, that's a good question. I can't say for sure. But I just think that, I mean, I've had a UFO experience myself, sighting, an amazing sighting. Would you want me to tell you about that, or?
Well, I want to know, because, like, look, there's people every day that say they see, like, the Virgin Mary and stuff, too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean, I think that, well, there has to be a smaller percentage within, like, a subgroup that is telling the truth there. Like, that's not where my brain would go, right?
Right.
But hold on. But that's a supernatural thing. I don't think the aliens have anything to do with supernatural. I don't believe in anything supernatural. As I told you before, the amazing Arthur C. Clarke had that great quote where he said, any significantly advanced technology will look like magic to us. And to me, that's what I think is going on.
But how do you know? How does he know? Because it might not look like magic to us. We might go, oh, that's cool. And now we have an explanation because we've seen how it's done. It's not necessarily, doesn't make it magic.
Or even just like, go ahead.
No, I'm saying it's not. No, it's not magic. I mean, it will look like magic to us.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a reason why it has to be kept secret from the public. If for a fact that government knows it's true, like all the other conspiracies, they really don't make any sense of why they have to be kept secret from the public. But in this case, the UFO phenomenon and the alien phenomena, it would have to be kept secret from the public because I think there are serious ramifications if we're told the truth. If I'm right.
What would the ramifications be? I want to know what they are. What is a ramification of finding out that there are actually alien life forms somewhere?
I think, well, I don't know about the finding out, but let's say the contact with any advanced technological society that comes across a primitive society, that primitive society is going to be wiped out if they take over that primitive society.
Okay.
And I think that's what they kind of fear, like that our civilization could be turned upside down because they could be so...
I'm actually going to bolster your argument here, Daniel. I actually think there's even better reasons why a government would hypothetically keep that information safe. I think that knowledge would cause a panic, right? Like that knowledge would definitely cause people to do some crazy shit if they found out it was real. Sure, there may be people that... Yeah, I mean, like, I would say that if a government body did have information, there is warrant that they would want to keep it secret. I don't disagree with that. It's just the matter of, okay, but do they though? You know what I mean? Like, how would we know if we did? Right. Now, like, you know, I agree. There's lots of sightings and lots of people that are saying, I was reading in the news just the other day on Monday, there's folks here in Texas, a little bit north of Austin, that thought that they saw a UFO or some aliens in the sky, but it was just the Tesla satellites that they, not you Tesla, go. But the
Starlink.
Starlink. I was going to say Neuralink, but that's Starlink. The Starlink satellites and stuff, right? Like, I think people are just really bad at identifying stuff in the sky at night. I really think that's what it is.
UFO doesn't always... doesn't have to mean alien either. It's just an object that is unidentified. Just an object that people don't know what it is. It could be anything. I don't understand why people automatically jump to, you know, a superior being of some description.
So, like, if aliens are real, right, Daniel? Like, I know I'll let you speak here, but if aliens are real, I'm not going to believe it because of UFO evidence. Mm-hmm. It has to be more than UFOs. I think it has to be like direct contact with aliens or even just like a fucking video of some aliens. But like just the phenomenon of seeing. Well, I know what you're going to say, which it could be fake. And yes, it's true.
Yeah, right.
But I'm just saying like it just stuff in the sky is not going to be enough for me.
Right.
You know?
Because it could be anything. It could be a hot air balloon or one of those little Chinese lanterns.
NASA came out with a report tomorrow and they're like, we do definitely think this is aliens. Like, that would probably sway me. But, you know.
And I'm a massive fan of there being alien life. I would love for there to be alien life somewhere. And because of what we know about convergent evolution, like, and just how other planets are, just through observation, the chances are there is some form of life billions of light years away. Would they travel all the way to this little dot in the Milky Way galaxy to come and visit some of us? I don't know. The only way I think I'd believe it is if a little spaceman came and slapped me in the face. Yeah. I think that would convince
me.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Maybe the reason is because they're already in our solar system. Maybe they live in planets and moons in our solar system. And there's
maybe
photographs.
Maybe.
Well, look at Mars. You guys should look at the anomaly channels on YouTube, where these guys have hundreds of pictures of anomalies that look like statues, that look like
you mean the pictures that people think that there's faces and statues and stuff on rock formations. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean,
with clever shadows and the way light falls and
But like, isn't it interesting that we would find? But isn't it interesting, Daniel, that if we're currently being visited by aliens, we somehow find all of these statues and things, but like no actual life signs mm-hmm. anywhere? Like, don't you think that if we're looking at all this civilization, we would figure that out? What's that?
There are signs of life on Mars.
I'm not saying it.
There also seem to be little beings that look like insectoid beings that use tools and stuff. You can see this.
This is brand new information. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Wait, this is different. Are you saying the videos show insectoid people
using tools?
Pictures.
You
can see
pictures.
And NASA's billion pixel picture of Mars is one. And then they started to restrict the viewing of it. They're covering it up. That orange pinky haze is bullshit. That's not. They're covering it up. They're making everything look the same. They want everything to look like just like rocks and sand.
Do you not think it would be I don't understand why they would hide something like a little insect using a tool.
Right. So, like, the aliens are okay with us sticking a rover on Mars and taking pictures, but they don't want us to take pictures of what? What's the relationship there?
Yeah.
Daniel, you still there? Hello?
Daniel.
Oh, I think we did lose him. Okay. We just got into the lore. Hold on. We just got into something else. See, just like that other caller, John, maybe we just need to let people talk about and keep going until they get to the real. That's the meat right there.
Yeah, right?
That's the special sauce. I want to know about the insectoids. What's going on with the insectoids?
They have tools. This is brand new information. Surely something like this, it was seen initially, but then they hid it. There's still enough people that saw it initially that would have like captured that information and been sharing it every way. The insectoids cut off Daniel.
I mean, I'm saying that shit would go viral, but also like,
wouldn't it?
Like, I thought he was talking about like, oh, you know, you can see faces and stuff, and it's just like, a common thing, right? He's saying there's like pictures of aliens on Mars, which is like,
are little insectoid Martians going around and making mini Mount Rushmores? Going on here?
Is that what's going on? Do they have an atmosphere?
Like,
do they
not
need
going.
An atmosphere? And they're just like, what do they eat? There's no ecosystems,
right?
Where's the food coming from? I don't understand.
I don't understand.
And they let us like cross international. We have manifest destiny on Mars here, and we're colonizing an indigenous people. Is that what's happening? Are we doing another thing here? There's so much.
Well, and in 50 years' time, when we finally land on Mars, is there going to be a little insect colony with a welcome sign that they use their little tools to make? Welcome.
Maybe Elon Musk is actually an insectoid in disguise.
Oh,
and the reason why he wants us to get to Mars is he wants to go home, dude.
We've had enough of conspiracies today, Dan. Come on.
If anybody is an alien, I'm going to say top five like possibilities, Elon Musk is up there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't think that's controversial. If it is, don't at me on Twitter. I think
John Travolta as well.
John Travolta.
He's
that's another
there.
One. Also, another hot take, side note, I think if anybody's in the Illuminati, it's Beyonce. But I've been saying that for a long time. Things there. Hey, I am getting to the end of the show here. I don't think we really have a whole lot of time to talk to some other folks, but I need to tell you guys about how you can support the show really quick. Okay. So I want to tell you guys about the email address. You can email us. It's truth@atheist-community.org. So send me your videos, please, of insectoid people. And I will watch it. And I will give my commentary if I receive it. If not on here, then at least on Twitter. Because I want to know what's going on. You can also email tv@atheist-community.org. But please don't bother the rest of the crew and the rest of the shows with the shenanigans that happen here on Truth Wanted, because there's a reason we keep it isolated. You know, we try to cut that off from everybody. But you can also look at our website. It's atheist-community.org for that. And there's a Facebook group that's run by fans for fans. You should definitely check that out and post your Mars videos there too. tiny.cc/fbtwg. Interact with other fans that maybe also have evidence of insectoids on Mars. Very intrigued now. I cannot believe we lost. Dude, do you think NASA was like listening? You
they
think
cut they dropped off. The call? Oh, dude? Yeah. Do you reckon?
Dude,
could you imagine?
Dude, they're if watching. Somebody at NASA watched this show, I'd honestly be more like flattered than anything.
Yeah, right. Cut him off. That's fine. Hi, NASA. Thanks for joining.
Hello. Hi.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to talk about like Roswell and stuff. I was going to say that's an actual conspiracy too, but like,
I'll come back on at some point and let's do Roswell.
Yeah, we should definitely talk about Roswell. Maybe I should do a deep dive on Roswell because a lot of people really misconstrue what happened there and don't understand in different ways. But real quickly, I need to thank John for being on the show once again. John, you are super awesome. And I loved having you. Where can people find you at?
So I'm on YouTube at The Skeptic, and I make videos every week just talking about silly things that people claim and why I don't believe them. And that's basically it. Just a British voice saying some slightly witty things. I'm not smart, but I sound smart because I'm British. So I use that to my advantage.
As you should. definitely check out John the Skeptic's stuff. And I really enjoyed having you here, man. I hope we get to see you in the future. I, of course, also need to thank the other people that help make this show. And that is the wonderful, fantastic, stupendous crew that helps run stuff in the background every single week. Look at that crew cam. Oh, they're rocking the Truth Wanted merch, too. And some other show merch that we got. So yay, crew. And of course, I need to thank you guys, the audience. Thank you guys so much for watching this show. Please support it if you can in all the different ways that I mentioned. Like I said, all the hosts that do the shows like this, we're all volunteers to help make something even better. So your donations really help. But at the end of the day, I want you guys to always keep wanting the truth. I'm Objectively Dan. This has been another episode of Truth Wanted. I'll see you next time.
Watch The Nonprofits and join the hosts in the live chat Sundays at 3 p.m. Central between The Atheist Experience and Talk Hidden. Visit tiny.cc/ytnp.